Welcome to Equal Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is season 2, episode 16. Mm-hmm. And this is also episode 3 of The Kingdom Life. And guess who we have back?
I know, right? The brand new one.
Almost like when you buy a new car, you get that new car smell.
You're too kind.
Wait, smooth, Joe.
Yeah. This one has some miles on it, though.
That's from other people test driving it. They don't supposed to do that. Welcome, Pastor Kevin McCoy. How are you, my brother?
I'm delighted to be back with you both. The light is the light.
Awesome.
Always. How's that addition? How's that addition doing?
Yeah, how's the baby? Have you slept yet?
He is growing. I'm like, you need to hold on, boy.
I know, right? It's
happening too fast. It's happening too fast.
Right?
He's so aware now. He's
my goodness.
Turning his head. And he just turned 6 weeks.
Six weeks already? Congratulations.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Well, I do want to take my spot in history. I want to be called Uncle Joe.
You are Uncle Joe.
That's all I need to know. Okay. That's concrete for me.
That's right.
Well, before we head on, we want to start with thanking all our podcast listeners. We want to thank you for taking the time, whatever social media you may be using to get in contact with us. We do appreciate it. I'm not just saying it. I do appreciate people listening because it's the word of God. As always, you can leave your messages via WhatsApp 954-388-8780. And as always, Don, prayer is what it's all about.
Right.
Let's say a word. God, thank you once again for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you that you have to make a separate day. Lord, we want to thank you for this message about locating the kingdom, Lord, because we know that it's within our hearts. So, Lord, continue to bless us. Thank you for our pastor, who is our guest speaker today. We thank you for our guest host as well for this podcast, for Don, myself, and all the intricate parts. Continue to bless us so I can bless someone else. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Locating the kingdom. The kingdom. You have this whole series on kingdom life.
Yeah.
Remind us of the other two and tell us why you chose locating the kingdom for number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So the first was your kingdom come. We began with the prayer of Christ, praying for God's kingdom to come.
Mm-hmm.
The second was what's love got to do with it?
Yeah.
Now that is actually a parable of the kingdom. And if I was preaching at a different time, my second sermon in the calendar year, it would have been locating the kingdom as a second sermon.
Mm-hmm.
But that came, the second sermon on the parable came, because of the context of it being Black History Month at the time, and I wanted to bring up the gospel of the kingdom in that context.
Mm-hmm.
So after praying for the kingdom to come, it's important to say, okay, we have prayed.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know when it has come, when it has arrived? Mm-hmm. And thus we think about locating the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had the choice to go back, it would be your kingdom come, locating the kingdom, and then we go into the parables of the kingdom, which are going to reflect the dynamism of the kingdom.
Got you. So your main text today was Luke 17, 20 to 21.
Right.
And I found it very interesting that in verse number 20, the Pharisees are saying, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom would come, it's amazing that as it goes on, he doesn't actually say when.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Right. So the Pharisees, they were studying the apocalyptic literature, they were studying the prophecies, and they had a set of signs that they think would indicate the arrival or the time, the timing of the kingdom.
Right.
They're looking for certain things to be established, but for Jerusalem to be reestablished and the temple to be reestablished as a symbol of God's presence among them.
Right.
They were thinking about the temple as a symbol of God among them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for certain things to happen according to a prophecy.
Right.
But Jesus, as I mentioned, they were looking for the when. But Jesus was saying them, telling them, talking about the where, right?
Mm-hmm.
So their timing was off because it didn't happen according to how they think it would happen.
Right.
It was already entos hymen, right? The kingdom was already entos hymen. Mm-hmm. And so they missed it. And Christ was trying to re-educate them about that.
Okay, I understand.
Speaking of entos hymen, you know, obviously the Pharisees' calculation was really off, you know, because they were looking for the physical eye. Mm-hmm. And what gets me is about this translation of entos hymen. Go over that a little bit. The first one, of course, being what's in you.
Right. Mm. Right. So this phrase in Greek, entos hymen, is really, for this context, I would say ambiguous, right? Because it can mean three different things.
Mm. Okay.
And in trying to understand it in context, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. So when he says entos hymen, and it means one possible meaning is within you, like, you know, in a cup. Right? Like something in the cup.
Inside, yeah.
Is Jesus saying that the kingdom of God is in the Pharisees?
Mm.
Well, not necessarily, because they have already rejected Christ as a king, right?
Yeah.
They have already rejected Christ as the coming Messiah.
Mm. Right.
But we cannot ignore that possible meaning.
Yes.
Right. So even though it might not apply to the Pharisees, how can we take and make meaning of it for us?
It's an invitation.
Right. The kingdom of God is within you.
Yeah.
And as I noted, when Christ started speaking about the kingdom, he spoke of it as a spiritual reality, because he said, repent. His message was repent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we know repentance is a spiritual discipline, right, of turning away from sin and turning towards God. Mm-hmm. And so this enters hymen. It has been a matter of discussion, its meaning, its interpretation, from the church fathers, those persons who were close to the disciples, mm-hmm. and who were foundational to the development and continuity of Christianity. They had different meanings for it. But all three meanings are important. And here's why. If you throw out entos hymen, meaning within you,
mm-hmm.
then we are throwing away the spiritual aspect of the kingdom.
Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. The spiritual aspect of this kingdom is important, because God's kingdom is not a physical kingdom. We're going to take this piece of land. We're going to build a castle. We're going to rule on earth. Yes, God's kingdom has a spiritual dimension to it, which we cannot ignore, even if it was not relating in context to the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
We have to acknowledge that the kingdom of God comes within us as a spiritual reality, right? Because Christ is king.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gospel's message. Christ is king, but he's also king, the king who came to save us from our sins by dying on the cross. It's a spiritual reality.
So let me ask you a question about God in us. If we try to relate it to ourselves, how are we to have God in us if we, for example, don't want to do the things that God asks us to do?
Mm. Right. And so that's where it comes in. There is, and I'm just using it, our heart is a throne room, right?
Yeah.
Like you had the holy place, the most holy place in the temple. Mm-hmm. Our heart is like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the most holy place for the presence of God to dwell and mm-hmm. rule from. And I don't mean like there's a little being or a spiritual or something in our hearts. I mean that by submitting to the principles of God, by God's ways of life, the mm-hmm. gospel's demands,
mm-hmm.
that's when because we submit ourselves as citizens to a country or to a county or somewhere, when we follow the laws of that country,
yeah.
we are following the rules, the principles that govern that state or that region.
Mm-hmm.
And so Christ comes in us, God comes in us when we submit to the principles of God's kingdom. And that's why it goes back to this idea of your kingdom come. Your
mm-hmm.
kingdom comes when we submit to the principles of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, if God is not, if we are not submitting to God's kingdom, God's principles, the principles of the kingdom, it means then that we are submitting to another power,
mm.
right? And that means if God is not king, then it must be the devil that is the king. It must be that we are submitting ourselves to the principles of the devil. And some will say, well, I can still live a moral life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right? without you know, coming to God or having God in my life. And that's true. And that's why I emphasize this portion of the kingdom, this dimension of the kingdom. You cannot experience the kingdom in totality or in its fullness until you're experiencing it in all three dimensions. So you can be a moral person, but you're not a spiritual person. Right? Mm-hmm. You can live up to the ethical standards of the principle of the kingdom among us.
Yes.
But if you're not first and foremost submitting to the principles by having Christ as a ruling person in your life, you know, then there's an issue there. Because you can be moral but not spiritual. But it's difficult to be spiritual and not moral. And we're going to see that when we say the kingdom of God is in us and thus we live it out among us.
Yeah. But that's like you're saying once again, hey, with God, you know, I thought I was going to be accepted by my works. But obviously you're not seeing that, because the spiritual aspect of it is that you're
not accepting that
part. Right. But I'm a good person. And they're like, okay, if that's the case, do we need God? I'm just saying.
Right.
That's true. Wow. All right. So the second, of course, is among you. And you spoke about how the kingdom is present now. Speak about that.
Right. So Christ was present. The kingdom was present in Christ among the disciples, among the people. Now, if we read in context of Luke, we will find that before Jesus spoke, before Jesus approached and asked about the kingdom, Jesus has just healed a leper, right?
Yeah.
Just one, this leper came back to him and you know.
The only one, yeah.
Right. So notice the context. How Luke portrays it is that the leper who came back has recognized the power of God and the kingdom of God in Jesus's healing ministry.
Right.
And so he comes back to Christ. He didn't go away like others. He come back in acknowledging who Christ is.
Right.
Christ comes as his Messiah. And this, my healing, is a witness of who Christ is and the power of God's presence in our midst, among us. The Pharisees miss that. So if you notice the comparison, the Pharisees are asking when, but the Samaritan, the leper, says, it's right here. Right? Mm-hmm. It's in me. I experience the kingdom. If you look among you and look at my healing, then you recognize that the kingdom of God is really among us and in our midst, in the workings of Jesus Christ, in his preaching and in his healing ministry.
Amen. Well, also, you can think about this. What about the thief on the cross?
Exactly. Right.
Acknowledgement. You know what?
Right. Because even one of the gospels, one of the soldiers standing at the cross said, well, this man is truly the Son of God. A recognition that Christ is really, you know, king, and the kingdom has already come among them. So I went on to say that the kingdom of God was present in Christ, but obviously Christ is not present with us in physically with us.
Exactly.
So how do people know that the kingdom of God is still present? Because it is a present reality.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a present reality. So how do people recognize that? People recognize it when those with whom the kingdom is within live out the kingdom principles. Right? So that's what disciples were meant to do. You know? The disciples were meant to be a witness to the presence of the kingdom even after Christ left.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Jesus says to them in Acts chapter 1, you know, go be my witness in Jerusalem, in Samaria,
and all Judea. Yeah.
Right? You are going to be a witness that the kingdom of God has already come. Right? And notice what happened in Luke, because Luke and Acts, you know, they're continuing the story.
Yeah.
So if you notice what Jesus did in the Gospel of Luke, the disciples begin to do in the gospel in the book of Acts.
Right?
You find healings, you find them preaching, you find them breaking bread and sharing, you find
the conversion. So many things,
right. And a continuing theme between both books is the Spirit's movement. So when the Spirit of God was moving Christ and leading him as the power of God, the power of God behind the kingdom, that same power in the presence of the Spirit is moving the disciples in the book of Acts to do mighty works on behalf of God.
Amen, amen. So if we are in church now, how do we identify that Christ is among us in church, among all our people?
Good question.
Right. So consider those. We had a funeral last week for one of our church members.
Yes.
And as a church family, many gathered around and provided support so that the person could feel comforted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A principle of the kingdom, Christ says, is blessed are those who mourn, or they shall be comforted. Mm-hmm. Christ is not physically present. But when we come as a community and we grieve communally and there's communal mourning, communal support, then God's promise of a kingdom experience of comfort is really present.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Notice when Christ was among the people, he multiplied bread and he fed them because the poor was going to be taken off care of. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, right?
Yeah.
So we now, in demonstrating the kingdom among us, as Christ did, we try to live and do the things that Christ did, right?
Yeah.
So there's an ethical demand on us. And that's why it's a present reality among us, right? There's an ethical demand to live according to the principle of the gospel, right? A gospel that says, do good unto others as you would have them do good unto you, right?
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself. As I mentioned, at the end of time, when Christ comes to separate the sheep and the goat, it's not going to be about the rule of judgment will be, did you take care of the least among you?
Yes.
Right?
Mm.
Did you visit the sick? Did you visit those in prison? Did you clothe the naked? And so the kingdom of God is evidenced among us when the gospel's power is revealed in relation to those who are suffering, those who are oppressed, those who are ill, those who are marginalized, those who need God's power demonstrated in their lives. That's how the kingdom is evidenced among us.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I guess, and of course, you spoke about the third one, about the being in your reach.
Right.
Talk about that.
So here it is. If the kingdom of God was only a moral reality, or even say a spiritual reality, existent only in this world, we would have a challenge. Because I can confess that as a Christian, and even as a pastor, Sometimes there are days when my spiritual life is not at the strongest.
Right.
Right. I am not living out fully all the principles of the kingdom. I become doubtful. I become fearful. And if that was the only thing, if the spiritual aspect and the moral aspect were the only two dimensions of the kingdom to hold me, maybe sometimes I would have given up. Totally.
Yes.
But because there's something more, right? Because the kingdom is not just limited to what is in the present. Because even though we can evidence the kingdom in our good deeds and our giving and all of those things, we still have hurricanes. We still have starvation. We still have crime. We still have violence.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
We have so many problems and challenges. And so someone will say, if the kingdom of God has come, right? If God is truly in control, why is my child dying from cancer, right? Why is it that the rich get richer and the poor gets poorer? Why is it that hurricanes can destroy so many lives? Why is it that coronavirus can kill over 500,000 people? Where is God's control? You know, where is God really in control? Is the kingdom really present among us?
Well, that's where people are in their lives right now. They're asking that breaking point question. Where is he?
Right.
Where is he? You know, you get people right now, and then guess what? Then we lose the fact that our hope is like shot. And then next thing you say to myself, okay, then I'm going to start doing self.
Right.
And when you start doing self, then that's destruction. That's suicide. That's whatever it may be. But guess what? You're not leaning on the ever-changing, unchanging hand of God.
Right.
When he says hope is among the horizon.
Right, right. And that's why that the entus hymen is also in your reach Meaning the Pharisees, even though it wasn't in them, they could still reach towards the kingdom. They could still trust in Christ. They could still have right. faith in him as the Messiah. And the kingdom right. of God come among them, are mm-hmm. in them, mm-hmm. right? So the kingdom of God is in our reach, and we claim that by hope, right? The kingdom of God was inaugurated. Now, let me flesh out something here.
Okay.
In terms of the kingdom of God being an eschatological reality, meaning yeah. it's a last day event,
mm-hmm.
something yet future, but is coming.
Mm.
There are three ways that people think about eschatology, right? They think about it as consistent eschatology. There are three dimensions or three ways that people talk about it.
Mm.
Consistent eschatology is when we say the kingdom of God is all the way in the future and you don't have to worry about anything else. In the sweet by and by, everything will be okay. Don't mm-hmm. worry, you're suffering. Don't pay any mind to your suffering because God's going to come one day. That is not, I mean, if every day I'm suffering and you tell me, wait, I'm going to get tired of waiting.
Of course.
Right. And so that's a challenge with consistent eschatology. It tells you to only wait for what is coming, right? Just look to the future. Don't worry about what's happening in the present. Just look to the future. But entus hymen, the kingdom of God is among you, challenges that.
Mm.
Right? Because there, God has come among us. We can see the workings of God among us.
Mm.
Then we have what is called realized eschatology. That is saying all that is to come is in the present. The kingdom of God is here and you don't need to worry about anything else in the future.
Yeah.
If we think about it like that, then as we mentioned before, I'm a moral person. I'm a spiritual person. I don't need to look towards anything else. I can live my life now and live how I please or whatever. But entus hymen, the kingdom of God is in your reach, challenges that.
Yeah.
And then comes now what is called inaugurated or realized, self-realizing eschatology. Right, and that is the one where we say the kingdom of God has come, but it is still coming. Right, so there's a tension there. Right, it is here, but it's coming. It's present, yeah. but it's coming, and that shows the dynamism of the kingdom. Right, mm. God's kingdom is dynamic. It's not limited to time and to space. Mm. It transcends all of that.
Amen.
Right. So it encapsulates, it has all these dimensions speak to our experience as spiritual people, as spiritual mm-hmm. beings. You know, we have social dimension, we have spiritual dimension. And so the kingdom of God within us addresses our need to be connected to God spiritually,
mm-hmm.
right? As social beings, the kingdom of God is among us. Right?
Yeah.
An ethical demand for us to live out the kingdom principles in our social relationships,
yeah.
right? In how we relate to each other. But also the kingdom of God is coming because evil still exists, even though the beginning of evil's destruction has begun.
Yeah.
Right? The devil knows the battle has been lost. Evil knows it. Evil's reign will be ended. But the kingdom of God, that will happen when the kingdom of God is fully present
and yeah, Christ comes yeah.
in all his glory. And so mm-hmm. that's why the second coming is a significant doctrine in Christian understanding, right? It's a significant thing because we hope for the coming of Christ. It's what Christianity is based on.
Yeah. Right?
The hope that Christ will come again and make all things new, right? We cling to that hope. So that hope that Christ is coming helps us to deal with the difficulties right now, right?
Mm.
The hope that one day crime and violence, all of the poverty, the hunger, the mm-hmm. abuse, all of these evils, the hope that the kingdom of God is in our reach as a coming of Christ to make all things new is a delight to living in the present. It gives energy to live in the present and to cope and to persevere and to trust and to believe in God's power.
Amen.
So we as people, Christians, we profess to be Christians, we come to church. How are we able to have all three of these elements within our life? How is that possible?
Mm. Right. And the hope is that we have all three, because as you said, as Christians, the kingdom of God is present with believers. As a Christian who submits myself to Christ, you know, as my leader, as my guide in this life, my hope is to live like him, right? So when he comes in my life, when he's within me, that's the first dimension of the kingdom. Mm. The gospel, the kingdom is within me. I don't just keep it to myself, because it's not an individualized thing, right? Mm. I don't just sit and say, okay, the kingdom of God is within me. I am fine. I am saved. I'm okay. That's done, right? No, the kingdom of God among us says to us, as Christians, we have to move forward, right? So that dimension challenges us as a church to say, we're not insular. We're not exclusive. Mm-hmm. We're not just the remnant who sits and wait until Christ comes. Mm-hmm. We are active on Christ's behalf, enlisting others to have Christ reign in their hearts, and you know, the kingdom of God comes within them. Mm-hmm. But also, as Christ, you know, sin is a reality in the world. Mm-hmm. And Christ came as king to set all things right. Mm-hmm. So the hope is that as disciples of the kingdom, we are going to walk in Christ's footstep. Having experienced the kingdom within us, we are going to walk in his footsteps to ensure that others know that God is really in charge of this world. People are going to know God's love because I love them. Exactly. People are going to know God's grace because I am merciful towards them. Mm-hmm. People are going to know that, right? And the other dimension, reaching forward, people are going to see that even though I have difficulties, even though I have challenges in life as a person who has a kingdom within, even though I'm demonstrating the kingdom in my life, I am going to still have challenges, but how I overcome my challenges is because I'm hoping for something better because the kingdom is in reach.
Of course.
Right? So the hope is, as Christians, that all three dimensions will be manifested in our life. Mm. One, we will always be seeking to draw closer to God, you know, repenting daily, submitting ourselves. As Paul said, we die daily.
Yeah.
Right? Because yesterday's spiritual power is not sufficient for today. We need to be continually connected with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes.
And some people say Christianity is just about a spiritual experience. Mm. It's not just that. There is a responsibility upon us to love our neighbor as ourselves, because that's the fulfillment of the law.
Yeah, man.
Right? Amen. And as we seek to fulfill the law, we are still hoping. So it's like a thread, you know, connecting the kingdom of God. It moves through time and space and gives us hope, keeping us moving along a certain path until God's come. And that's why in locating the kingdom, we can't look in one place.
No.
We can't just look at a spiritual experience, a moral experience. We also have to look and hope for God to come, because the kingdom, as expressed in Christ's response, is entos hymen. It's dynamic, right? It's within us, it's among us, and it's in our reach.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, what gets me is that a lot of us live in this Pharisaical, let me pronounce it right, Pharisaical type of approach. You know, we always do this calculation. We have to, okay, let me measure. Is it north by north, southwest, east? And okay, he should be right there.
Mm-hmm. Right there, right.
And the thing about it is, you kind of find out that we are not seeing ourselves for God is in us. And the thing about this is that we don't submit. Mm. And that's where we start.
Yeah.
We don't submit. Yeah. You know, because we have people that's showing these things around us. Right. And we aren't accepting what, I guess, like I said, because everything's tangible, you know. Right. And spiritual, it doesn't have to be tangible. Mm. It has to be an experience that you receive.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy you raised this idea, this thought about the fact that this Pharisaic behavior, right? Mm. Where their effort, it would seem, is about this certainty, having this kind of control, right? Certainty brings this kind of sense of control. Now, if I can, if in the Pharisees' mind, if I can know for sure No, imagine. If I can know for sure when the kingdom of God comes, then I have a certain control or a certain power in relation to how the kingdom comes.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not God's kingdom. You don't have any power in relation to God's kingdom.
No.
What it shows is a lack of faith, a lack of understanding on the Pharisees' behalf in understanding how God operates. And to understand that, it is a matter of faith. And that's what Christ was saying to them. The kingdom of God is among you. If you notice the leper, you recognize that to recognize God's kingdom, it takes an eye of faith. Because it was by faith that the Pharisee, the leper, you know, was healed, right?
Right.
But notice, it wasn't just one leper who was healed.
It was 10.
But one came back recognizing the kingdom.
Yeah.
One recognized that what has happened is beyond human comprehension, is beyond human doing. This must be the kingdom of God. Exactly. And so Christ was saying to the Pharisees, well, you're looking for when, but it has already arrived. You have missed it.
Missed the point.
You have missed the point of the kingdom because you do not look with the eye of faith.
That's the point I was making. That's the point. Exactly. That's the point.
And so it is important that we live this life by faith, right?
Faith
in God,
but
also faithfulness to God's principles.
That's right.
I think as Adventists, we think, well, we have the truth. If we do things accordingly, and then we read Revelation and like, okay, so we know basically what's going to happen. And coronavirus part of this, maybe this is one of the last plagues.
Yeah.
And so we got all our little things going on. And we're like, okay, yeah, we can measure it without even realizing that we're measuring it. And so all the other aspects that you talked about, having that hope, we know Jesus is coming soon, but we're going to measure when he's going to come. And then to it in our hearts, well, we go to church, we're traditional. We know, we read our Sabbath school quarterly. We do this, we do that. So we are good. We have that kind of mentality to think we're okay. But I think we never take it to another level and understand that, you know what, if Christ is really within me, what does he want me to do right now?
Amen.
What is the purpose here on this earth
as we
wait for him?
Amen.
What am I supposed to do? Not just go through the motions. I think it's very easy for us to fall into that gap of we do all this stuff, we're in a ministry, we do this, we do that, and therefore we are doing what we're supposed to do and we'll be ready.
But see, the thing about it is, I was telling you, Don, that's that Pharisee mindset.
Yeah.
Right.
That Pharisee's mindset. I got to prepare
because
I'm thinking he's going to come at that time.
Right.
To prepare. Let me get all my ducks in order. And God said, God's probably doing one of these numbers.
What are you doing?
Wait a minute. You got it right here.
So just imagine, if we ignore this idea, if we ignore the dimension that says the kingdom of God is present, right? And say, okay, if I can calculate when the kingdom of God is going to come, say, I see the sign. If I don't see any sign, then maybe I can live how I please. Maybe I can live an immoral life.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe I can resist the spiritual calling of God upon my life. If I know when the kingdom of God is coming, if I know the timing, maybe I can live how I please. Maybe I can do what I want to do. And then just when the kingdom is going to come, I can make all things right.
Yeah.
You know, that actually makes, I was thinking something, Don, that would really mess up the 11th hour, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It would mess it up completely.
Yeah.
It's almost taking a ticket to Publix. What are you waiting for? 11th hour. Because it really would mess it up. What you're saying would really mess it up. Oh yes. My goodness.
And that's why recognizing the kingdom, locating the kingdom, is a matter of faith, but also faithfulness.
Yeah.
Faith in accepting God and Christ as King, but faithfulness to live the principles of the gospel until Christ comes.
Yes.
Right? And so it is good. I'm happy. I am happy that I don't know when the kingdom is, well, I don't know the timing of the eschatological reality will be fulfilled. I don't know when Christ is going to come in all his fullness.
Yeah.
So I have to be responsible, right? It places upon me the responsibility to live rightly, to live ethically, to live morally every day, every day, every day. Because that's what there's not, the gospel of the kingdom doesn't call for inconsistency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Calls for consistency, right?
Yes.
And we're going to explore some of these things in the parables of the kingdom. Mm. Now, these three dimensions within us, among us, and in our reach, we're going to see how the parables, right?
Okay.
In future sermons, we're going to see how the parables bring out these dimensions and challenge how we live.
Yes.
For instance, you can take, just for instance, the parable of the mustard seed.
Yeah.
It's the smallest, but it grows into this large tree, right? That speaks about the hope and the progress of how the kingdom expands, right?
Yeah,
how the kingdom expands, right? And ultimately blossoms, right? How the kingdom finally comes into all its greatness as this big tree, right?
Yeah.
We're going to see how all these dimensions are developed further by Christ in the parables that he preaches or teaches about the kingdom.
Wow. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I tell you. Well done. Woo, boy. I tell you one thing. I tell you, Intus Hymen.
Intus, yeah. Within us, among us, and
hashtag. Hashtag.
Intus.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one, Jay Wong.
Hashtag that, brother. That's right. Don, I got an earful. I got what I needed. I tell you. Well, Pastor, we appreciate you. I know you got to get yourself prepared because I'm heading to the baptism too today. You have been there. But like I said, just all the best to your newborn and your wonderful wife. And like I said, we're here for you. And you've just been a wonderful addition to the church ministry.
Absolutely.
And the pastoral board. And I'm glad to be in good company.
Myself here, likewise. Thank you so
That's
much.
That's good. All
thank
right.
Thank you so much, Leo.
All right, Don, if you don't have anything else,
no, I just
okay. Besides, right, the baptism, I mean, the birthdays, yeah. we ask the pastor if you kindly lead us on the word of prayer.
Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you so much that we can locate the kingdom. Mm. Our focus should not be on time, and because the kingdom of God is present as a spiritual reality within us. Present as an ethical reality about how we live as Christians, how we live in the world to represent you. But it's also an eschatological reality, the hope of your coming, which we cling to give us vitality for life and for living. And so we pray for all who will listen that the kingdom of God will truly be located within us, among us, and in our reach. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you once again. Pastor, I'm sure I'll see you a little later. Blessings to you and the candidates that are being given their lives to Christ today so they can be entertainment them well themselves. All right, Don.
Yep.
Okay. Let's do this.
Two birthdays. Lloyd Gibson. Remember Gibson? He's on April 19th. Yes, you do remember Gibson.
Wait a minute.
His father. You remember his father. This is.
Oh, okay. 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 Thank you. And had a brain freeze.
Yeah. And Kevin Peter.
Is on yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got his number. So I'll just send him one out. Okay. Well, once again, we want to thank all our podcast listeners. Thank you very much for this wonderful message that we just heard today. And once again, any comments, questions you may have, please send us via WhatsApp at 954-388-8780. And once again, hey, as the pastor always says, Christ is with us. He always has. It's like he was with the children of Israel. It's like he was with everybody. He's with us now. I will say this week is a foretaste of the kingdom to come. All right. God bless everyone.